T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
New York's fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, and Sports Radio 66, WFAN, New York.
And we'll call this segment a segment with Frank Isola of The Athletic. And Frank, how the hey are you?
Where the heck have you been? We haven't spoken in months. No. You must have banned me from appearing on your show.
No, you go on the more popular shows now.
Evan calls me up for the Saturday show. That's a big one for me. Well, he doesn't want me on in the morning, just on Saturday.
On Saturday, you become his co-host that he doesn't have on Saturday. That's how it works.
Oh, the pain. That's all I say the whole time I'm on with him on Saturday. I make him feel comfortable.
And you do. You make us all feel comfortable. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready for...
the show?
All right. Let's try this again. One, we're talking lottery. One for the money.
Yeah. Okay.
Two for the show. Three to get ready. Four. Who are they going to get? RJ Barrett?
Oh, there you go. I see what you were doing. I apologize. I don't follow along very well. I think they're going to get either RJ Barrett, assuming he doesn't move up and get taken second instead of Ja Morant. He's a little undersized. I know he's a dynamic player, but if they get R.J. Barrett, that's decent. It's not Zion Williamson. I don't think the fans, it's not going to have that same type of excitement, but he's got a chance to be a pretty good player.
Now, in this NBA, where it's the three-point shot, the free throw and the dunk, no such thing as a mid-range, he's about 30, R.J. Barrett, he's about, from what I understand, 30% from three-point territory. That would not work in today's NBA. However, it does sound very enticing, does it not, Frank Isola of The Athletic now, to put Kevin Durant over here, to put Kemba Walker over there, and put R.J. Barrett right in between. Would that work?
I think if you get Kevin Durant and Kemba Walker, I think you're going to consider it a pretty good summer regardless of who the Knicks draft. Now, the one thing you have to remember with a lot of these young players, there's always going to be a lot of hype, and then reality sets in their first season. Now, there are a couple of guys, look at Donovan Mitchell in Utah, Jason Tatum, their first year last year. Those guys were on teams that won playoff rounds. But I think with R.J. Barrett, you know, the one thing about him, he's big and strong. Mm-hmm. He can defend. Like you mentioned, he's not a great shooter. That was part of Duke's problem. You know, they were this great team that everyone wanted to watch play because of Zion Williamson. And they had terrific talent, but they weren't a great shooting team. And the other kid that's going to get drafted in the lottery, Cam Reddish, he's not a good shooter either. But the games that, you know, I got a chance to see them play in person twice. And the one thing about R.J. Barrett, he's definitely a leader out there. He's got a lot of grit to him. I think, you know, the fact that his father, Rowan Barrett, who played at St. John's, mm-hmm. you know, was big in Canadian basketball, I think that has probably helped him a little bit. I think he has a pretty good understanding of what's expected of a professional player. So whoever ends up with him, if it is the Knicks, I think they'll be in a pretty good position. Now, here's the thing, Steve. What is he going to become? People have said maybe he can be James Harden. You know, maybe he'll be only as good as Rodney Hood, who's a good NBA player, but nothing great. I think that's the one thing about the draft. Everyone is obviously shooting for the moon, but a lot of times you just don't know.
And that's his NBA hero, is James Harden. He models his game, he says, after James Harden. Does that mean he won't show up for game fives and game sixes?
Very well played. I'll say this about James Harden. You're talking about an elite offensive player, and you're absolutely right. They were terrible in the fourth quarter of game five against Golden State when no Kevin Durant, and then I don't know what happened to them last week, but I'm one of the few people. I do not think that the Houston Rockets window, it's almost closed. Not yet. I still think, yeah, they keep losing to the best team, Steve. You know, it's not like they're losing to, you know, just some run-of-the-mill team. They have been losing to the Golden State Warriors. There is something to be said for that.
Well, how about showing up? I mean, it's one thing to lose when you're showing up and contributing, and trying to win. But last year in Game 6 and also in Game 7, now they didn't have Chris Paul. That's one thing. And then what was going on this time around? He didn't show up in Game 5. And in Game 6, he has some good final numbers, but he took like three shots in the third quarter. And maybe four or five more shots. And some of us felt like pulling out every single whisker on that beard.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you go back to that Game 5 in the last 14 minutes when Kevin Durant wasn't available, you know, Steph Curry finally got hot. In fact, Steph Curry outscored the combination of James Harden and Chris Paul in those last 14 minutes, 16 to 13. So neither of those guys did very well. The one thing about Harden, though, if you look at the way that he played, especially in that game, mm-hmm. I know he didn't shoot a lot, but late in the game, they were getting easy baskets early in the shot clock to keep Golden State, to put them under pressure, to make them make free throws. And if you remember at the end, Klay Thompson should have turned the ball over. That ball should have gone back to Houston. To me, that's where Houston lost it, because that was a game they should have won. If they win that, I think they probably take out the Warriors in Game 6. But here's the one thing about the Warriors, and a lot of people love to go around, you know, talking about Steph Curry, that he's some suburban jump shooter who's really soft. He and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, you can throw Iguodala in there. They've been in a lot of big games before. They're mentally tough, physically tough. I mean, Steph Curry, the last, you know, two games and a quarter has been outstanding. He's gone back to being an MVP type of player. So once again, I understand. I agree. I think Harden needed to do better, but I just don't think it's as much of a lost cause as everyone likes to think it is.
Well, I think it's a lost cause with him. And really, MIA in that Game 5, he went 8 minutes. 8 minutes, Frank. 8 minutes and 40 seconds in the fourth quarter without taking a shot. And then he took one shot in the final 7 minutes and 5 seconds of that game. That is inexcusable, Frank.
He was setting other guys up, and they, you know, they are trying to prevent him from scoring and shooting, number one. But also remember this. There was a time this season when the entire team was hurt, and he went out. This is early in the season. They were in 14th place, and James Harden said, I'm going to be the back-to-back MVP. And what he did over the next, you know, 3.5 months was absolutely carry the team. So we love to talk about LeBron, what he did in Cleveland last year, kind of carrying an inferior team. You know, the role players that he has around him are decent. I don't think that they're great. Chris Paul's getting up there in age. He carried that team when he already had an MVP from last season, and he could have said, you know what, we just don't have it this year. So I'm telling you, a lot of people agree with you. Maybe I'm in the minority. I just think that the guy gets, I think he gets knocked a little too much for how well that he does play throughout the entire season.
All right, back to the lottery and Zion Williamson. We were hearing, I mean, over the last couple of days, we've heard that, yes, he wanted to be a member of the New York Knickerbockers, and if not that, maybe Atlanta, where it would be a shorter drive to his home in South Carolina. And then maybe we were hearing on May 29, he has that as a deadline to announce whether or not he would go back to school. He has been such, and we all think that he's not going to go back to school. That's for sure, Frank, because what? He's going to leave $100 million on the table and maybe get himself, God forbid, hurt in going back to Duke. So we do think, and although the rumors are fast and flying all over the place, we do think he's going to go to New Orleans. The question is Anthony Davis going to stay there?
Yeah, and that's the thing with New Orleans. If you include Zion Williamson in the equation, you know, they've had and will have a third, you know, great player over the last 10 years. Chris Paul kind of forced his way out, ended up getting traded. Anthony Davis wanted to get traded, and now Zion Williamson, you know, from all indications, he's not too thrilled about going there. It almost gets to the point, why do they even have a team in New Orleans? Put the darn team in Seattle, where they love basketball, and maybe the players will like playing in that city and playing for that team. Mm-hmm. I do think Zion Williamson is going to go to New Orleans. Anthony Davis is a tough one to figure out. I mean, David Griffin is a smart guy, so he's not going to tip his hand, number one. The other thing is, with a guy like Anthony Davis, he's going to field every offer that he can. Now, I know Anthony Davis has some leverage because he could easily say, well, I'm not going to resign with you. That's always been the case. We heard the same thing with Paul George when he got traded from Indiana to Oklahoma City. Everyone said that was going to be a one-year rental. He's going to go join the Lakers and LeBron. Well, last July, that he had the opportunity to do that. He took the money and stayed in Oklahoma City. So I think teams like Boston, I think they'd still be willing to take a chance on Anthony Davis if they can convince him to sign there long term. And there could be some other mystery team out there that we don't know about that might be interested in him. So I do think that he's going to get traded, and I think certainly the Lakers would be in play, and definitely the Boston Celtics would be in play.
And LeBron James, the new coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. I know they hired Vogel, but the bottom line is we know who's the real coach there. And how disappointed is LeBron James, the king, LeBronomania, LeBronathon? How disappointed was he in not getting to the postseason and not getting Anthony Davis when he wanted him in February?
Now, the whole thing has been a mess for them, and he has to take some responsibility for it. Now, he got hurt on Christmas Day, which certainly impacted their season, but he sabotaged everything, you know, by being behind that trade to trade half the team for Anthony Davis. That didn't happen. Their season fell apart. It was always going to be a bad mix because LeBron at 34 is at a different place in his career than the rest of that roster. That's one thing. And now you have the Lakers with Jeannie Buss and Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis. You know that Phil Jackson is somewhere on the periphery there as well. You could tell that they don't want the perception to be that they're allowing LeBron James to run things. Well, guess what? At this stage, when you go out and you sign LeBron James, you're really not going to have him be involved in things that go on. You could say, oh, you can't do that. That's crazy. Then you shouldn't have signed him in the first place. So they hired Jason Kidd to placate LeBron James, but they didn't hire the coach that he wanted. I don't understand why the Lakers are halfway in. Either go all the way in with LeBron James or trade him. You have that right. I know he has a 15% trade kicker. If he does gets traded, that complicates things. But he doesn't have a no-trade clause. You can trade him to wherever you want. Hey, you know what? Trade him to New Orleans for for Zion Williamson.
And the Lakers, Frank, they move up in the lottery seven spots from with the percentages having them somewhere in the neighborhood of 11 or 12. They move up to number four. And Adam Silver is determined with this lottery and the rules of the lottery, you will not be rewarded if you go about tanking. New Orleans wins this lottery with almost twice as many wins as the New York Knickerbockers. The Pelicans had, 33 wins? 33 wins, and the Knickerbockers had 17. Do you like the way it is? The worst team is drafting number three. Now, the other two bad teams, Phoenix and Cleveland, they went 5-6. But at least in this system, at least the Knickerbockers got in the top three.
Well, yeah, and the team that I felt badly for was the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks, when the season started, and remember, I think on opening night, the Knicks beat them. The Hawks looked like a team that maybe was going to win 10 games. But under Lloyd Pierce, they did things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They played hard. They played to win all the time. They actually fell in the lottery, just like the Cavs did, just like the Suns. The Bulls also fell out of it. New Orleans had a 6% chance of jumping up, and that's exactly what happened. I think the league is happy because, number one, you get a team like New Orleans that all this controversy was surrounding, a tough market, you know, the situation with the team and all this other stuff. They get the number one pick. Memphis has been another team, a much smaller market, like kind of stuck in the middle of nowhere right now where their organization is. They get the number two pick. And then you have the biggest markets, New York and L.A. They still ended up in the top four. I think the Knicks fans have every reason to be upset because this was the one year with the, it looks like a transformative player. And you had the worst record, and last year you would have had a 25% chance of getting them. It's bad luck, but guess what? The draft lottery is always luck. That's what it comes down to, and you can't go. You know, you can't rely on ping pong balls because you're just going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah.
The Lakers made out, Memphis made out, and certainly New Orleans made out because of the ping pong balls, and a lot of other teams suffered the other night.
I'm in the minority here, Frank, because before the lottery, I was, I think, the only one among Knickerbocker fans who was saying that if the Knickerbockers did get Zion Williamson, I would be very intrigued and possibly very interested in moving him to New Orleans in a package for Anthony Davis. Is that a crazy, outlandish, revolutionary, crazy notion to begin with, if that had been?
No, not at all. And I also think that the Knicks front office was probably, that's one of the options they were thinking about. You don't get Zion Williamson, so now you come out and you're kind of leaking it. No, we never would have traded the number one pick because they don't want to tip their hand in a potential, you know, offer that they could make for Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. So I'm not buying that. Everything would have been on the table between now and July 1st, between now and the draft. So I don't believe that. I will say this. I think whichever team ended up getting Zion Williamson, in this case it's New Orleans, I think the fan base would have lost their minds. I think there would have been some people, like yourself, who said, no, that's the smart thing to do, go out and get Kevin Durant, you get Kyrie Irving, you have a much more veteran team. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about a guy that has come into the league with so much hype surrounding him. Right. He's so young. When he's under contract, you basically have him for like the next 6 to 8 years. That would have been a hard sell, especially for a team like the Knicks, where the fans all year long were only thinking about Zion Williamson. He's such a, you know, this isn't the Cavaliers drafting Anthony Bennett or Minnesota or Cavaliers getting Andrew Wiggins, and everyone is thinking, well, who cares? This is different. This is Cleveland getting LeBron James. Zion Williamson is that big of a name coming into the NBA draft.
And do you think, I mean, an enormous amount of pressure as well. He's 19, going on 20, 1 year at Duke, as opposed to possibly obtaining in some kind of a transaction a guy who's 25 or 26, considered to be one of the top five in the NBA, Anthony Davis. I would have, I think, made that deal. And the bottom line is, not to say that Zion Williamson won't realize all of what is expected of him, but there's going to be, don't you think, Frank, a great deal of pressure on him getting into the NBA. And we all know there's going to be, has to be, some kind of transition period here, unless he turns out to be Moses Malone, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James, who came in as young as can be and made an impact right away.
Well, there's pressure on every rookie that comes in, but he's going to go to a smaller market. There's also a lot that you have to learn when you get to the NBA with the schedule, and he's going to have to take better care of his body. So it's not going to be easy for him in year one by any stretch of the imagination. Now, by going to New Orleans, and if Anthony Davis were to stay there, remember, New Orleans last season was a team that made it to the second round. You know, if you look at Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, and Zion Williamson, and Julius Randle, I mean, they have some pretty good pieces. But to your point about Anthony Davis, the one thing about trading him or acquiring him in a place like New York, for example, by himself, he only got out of the first round one time. He's been hurt a lot. But when you look at him in the context of adding Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, Durant would be the number one guy. Obviously, Kyrie Irving's played in a million big games, has won an NBA Finals. Then you're looking at Anthony Davis as a superstar piece, but he's part of a threesome, as opposed to kind of being the guy in New Orleans, a much tougher Western Conference. I think in a lot of ways, it's a hard sell for a lot of teams. For New York, it wouldn't be, just because the Knicks have the cap space to sign the two guys. Mm-hmm. But again, I still don't buy for a minute that it would be very difficult to trade Zion Williamson for. I just think too many fans would have been through the roof had the Knicks gotten Zion Williamson.
Oh, no, my idea and my thinking was totally in the minority. I think it was the only one in New York City with it. Here's the thing. Do you think the Knicks will get Kevin Durant? And of the two point guards I'm going to name, if they were able to choose one of the two, the Knickerbockers, if they were able to get one of the two, which of those two point guards, Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving, would you go after? And do you think they're going to get Durant?
Well, Kyrie Irving is the more talented player, but, you know, there does seem to be a lot of baggage that comes to him. It wasn't like his teammates were actually in love with him in Boston. There were definitely some issues. The Celtics still want to bring him back. Danny Ainge wants Kyrie Irving on the team, and I think a big part of that is trying to go out and get Anthony Davis. Now, everything we've heard for most of the season is that Kevin Durant is coming here. There are some people that I know that are close to him and say, no, he hasn't made up his mind. You know, he's like a spur-of-the-moment guy. He changes his mind all the time. I think the tough thing for Kevin Durant, once the season ends, and we don't know how it's going to end in Golden State. We don't even know if it'll end with him being available to play. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, you sit down, you know, the toughest sell for the Knicks is going to be, he's definitely, the only way he's coming here is if another guy comes here. So that's one thing. He's not going to do what LeBron did in L.A., went by himself, and look at how that turned out. So that's one thing. Number two, you know, it's still a big leap that he's taking. You're going from one of the greatest teams in the history of the sport to a team that won 17 games last season. And now the Knicks fan is going to sit here and talk about legacy and all that stuff. Well, you know what? The odds are, and if we're judging it from history over the last 20 years, there's a better chance that your legacy is going to be hurt by coming here. So I think those are all things that Kevin Durant is going to weigh. Obviously, if he does great and wins a championship, that puts you on a different level. But there's also a chance it doesn't work out. And think about what that could mean for him. He's in a great situation, great owner. They're moving into a new building, great front office, great teammates. That's a lot to give up. But he, it looks like he's willing to do that because he wants to build his brand and all this other stuff and build his business empire. But I keep saying it. Knicks fans, like Laker fans, when it comes to LeBron James, are not going to care about your post-playing career and that you're trying to build your brand and build your financial portfolio. If a guy like Kevin Durant comes to the Knicks fans are only going to care about the fact for the next 2-3 years, we need you to play at an incredibly high level and finally take us to the promised land. The fact that you're, you know, hobnobbing with celebrities and all and people from the fashion world, the music world, Knicks fans are not going to care about that. So just hope that Kevin Durant, if he does come here, it's about basketball and not and the other stuff is secondary.
If the Warriors, if the mouthpiece and the shimmies, if they win another title without him, would that make Kevin Durant more inclined to come to a place where he can be the man and turn around a losing culture with the New York Knicks?
Maybe. I mean, that would be pretty interesting, right? They won one with him. They also lost one.
Right.
I'm sorry. They won one, lost one without him. If they win another one without him,
right,
that would be pretty impressive. And it is kind of set up for them right now. You know, Portland, to me, I think they might have reached their ceiling in the last round, winning in 7 games. But Milwaukee is a team that everyone kind of keeps forgetting about, even though they won 60 games and they've now won 9 playoff games. So they've won 69 games already this season. So I'm not ready yet to declare the Warriors champions because they're a long team, Milwaukee. They're well coached. They would have home court advantage. But to your point, that would be something for Kevin Durant to think about. Like, I mean, can you imagine if he doesn't play another game the rest of the season, they go on to win the championship, and then he leaves as a free agent and gets, you know, big money from the Knicks. It would be a pretty incredible story.
And, yeah, he would be the man here. It is not his team there. He may be the best player in the game, and Kerr calls him the best player on the team. It's not his team. It's the mouthpiece and the shimmy and Thompson with his feet of clay and the Iguodalas and everybody else. It's not his team. He could come to New York City, Frank, and yes, with 17 wins from a year ago, and you put R.J. Barrett out there, and you put a Kemba Walker or a Kyrie Irving out there, the Knickerbockers could contend for the Eastern Conference Finals.
You're like one of these like millennials. His team, my team, it's your team.
Well,
when Magic and Kareem were winning championships, when Larry Bird was winning championships, did we really care like whose team it was? And
no.
I think here's the thing with Kevin Durant. The last two seasons, he was the best player on his team. He was the best player in the NBA Finals. He's been a two-time MVP. I think what he's been lucky is that going to a team like the Warriors, besides the fact that they're great players, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they don't really seem to get wrapped up in any of that stuff. You know, both of them have achieved a lot already in their careers. They get a lot of accolades. They've made a lot of money. They've won championships, especially a guy like Klay Thompson who does all the dirty work. I mean, think about Klay Thompson. He was, you know, behind Steph Curry and even Draymond Green, who runs his mouth all the time. Now you add Kevin Durant to it, and kind of Klay Thompson still goes about his thing. He's a different kind of guy, Klay Thompson. He just worries about playing basketball and wanting to win and not worried about, I need to have my own team, which sometimes when guys think like that, think about Kyrie Irving. Couldn't wait to get out of Cleveland and leave LeBron James. How'd that work out for him? His team made it to a conference finals last year without him. This year they won 5 games. Playoff games, that is.
Can Milwaukee beat him?
I think they can. I definitely think they can. I mean, Giannis is a, you know, when you think about superstars, he's not the kind of guy that feels like, I need to take 25 shots tonight. Look what happened last night. Your old buddy from the Brooklyn Nets, Brooke Lopez, was the guy that's carried. They've had other guys.
Brooke Lopez. Wasn't that terrific? Brooke Lopez. Good for him.
And by the way, Steve, remember when the Warriors signed DeMarcus Cousins for $5 million and everyone was up in arms? Oh, my God, the Warriors. It's an embarrassment of riches. How can the league do this? It's so unfair. Well, look at where DeMarcus Cousins is now, trying to come back from another injury. Meanwhile, Brooke Lopez, one-year deal. And you think about the crazy contracts that guys and salaries that guys make. Brooke Lopez, 1 year, $3.4 million. That is a bargain. Only in the NBA is it a bargain basement, but it's a bargain basement price.
A final question here regarding Steph. And I don't know why he calls himself Steph when his first name is spelled like mine, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. I think a grounded person would say Stephen, but no, with him it's Steph. Let me ask you this. What do you think on a three-point shot some years ago against the New York Knickerbockers where Curry hits a three-pointer and starts with the mouthpiece hanging down to his chin and doing the shimmy up the floor? What do you think Charles Oakley or Anthony Mason might have done with that mouthpiece?
It's funny you say that. It's funny you bring up Charles Oakley. Years ago, Jeff Van Gundy always tells this great story about before a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Pat Riley told this really long story, and it was about, like, you know, some tribal leader, and they go across the river, and when they get to the other side, he sets the boats on fire, the rowboats that they came on, whatever it was, and all the warriors are looking at him, and he says, "Now there's no turning back." And that was to inspire the players, so the players are getting fired up. And then he said, "Does anybody have anything else they want to say?" And the late, great Dick Carter said, "Yeah. When you see B.J. Armstrong take that mouthpiece out of his mouth and start playing with it, I want someone to knock it out." And then he started cursing. And Charles Oakley said, "That's what I'm talking about." Mm-hmm. And the Knicks, you know, took the court. They were all fired up. I love Steph Curry. I love his family. The mouthpiece absolutely drives me crazy. But I will say this about him. I got a chance to go out there in October and interview him. And I said to him, you know, he's from Akron. He's born in the same hospital that LeBron was born in. It's pretty incredible that these two guys from Akron who were not – they're not that different in age. You know, both became these great players. Now, they both have three championships. And Steph, if he wins one more, that gives him one more than LeBron. I told him, you have to get a tattoo that says the King of Akron. And LeBron has to get that tattoo taken off his back. He's no longer the King of Akron. Steph Curry, 4. LeBron James, 3. It's all about the numbers, Steve. All about the results.
I thought that the Knickerbockers might get Zion Williamson because I, Frank, was born in a hospital. Mount Zion.
There it is. See?
Yeah, it didn't work. Anyway, I can't thank you enough for the time, and you're just the best and always the best to you from all of us. And so now I look forward to listening to you with Evan on a given Saturday.
I appreciate that. And Steve, when I see James Harden, I'm going to pass all the messages along to him, and we'll get the reaction from the beard, who, by the way, has plenty of time to rest up for next season.
Yeah, if I had my way, I would be pulling out every one of those whiskers.
You are tough, boy. You are tough.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
All right, Steve, thank you.
All right, Frank Isola of The Athletic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.